Thank you for supporting Jordan Clay Ministries. Hey guys, thank you for joining us in today's podcast. Today I'm joined by special guest Andrea Moore.
Hey Jordan, I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you so much. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Andrea Moore. I am, if we want to go like straight relationship, I'm a beloved child and daughter of God. I'm also a mother of an awesome daughter. I'm a person that just loves the word, loves to study. And I think that God gave me a gift of compassion to see people healed and hopeful so they can do what is in their destiny in Christ.
That sounds awesome. Let's not forget prophetess, author, worshiper, and the long list of stuff. So as long as I've known you, one of the big revelations God has given you is about the heart. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, was the heart and as it relates to Christians, and not just Christians, but also people in ministry and people in leadership. Awesome. So first question I have, what does the heart mean to a child of God?
Well, it doesn't mean everything, but it means so much, even for people who are what I like to call pre-believers, because so much is filtered through your heart. And I believe it's Proverbs 4:23 that says to guard your heart, because everything flows from that place. And I just believe that if your heart is not taken care of well, because we do live a life where things happen to us and we have trials and circumstances, it's going to impact and influence how you see God, how you understand your world. And even if you have a good relationship or a good understanding with God, things in life can still impact your heart, and it will influence how you interact with just the world.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think a lot of times as Christians, we neglect our heart without even realize it. And then we're going through the motions, and then we, all of a sudden, it's like one day a light switches and we realize that we're out of alignment, or we're doing ministry or just doing life and doing walk with God without a right heart and without a right mindset. So how does the heart and mind align with the
Christian? That was really good when you shared that, because it made me think of sometimes when you're on Christian autopilot. Yeah. You know, you're clear about your assignment, you're clear about your gifts, you're clear about your call, but you left the heart part out of it. And so you'll be coming at it at a different angle. As far as the mind, another scripture says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I think in that process, you think about what you say before you say it. Now, of course, there are those times where things just come out and you wish you could reel them back in. But you have to, your conversation is a meditation of your mind and your heart. Mm. So if your heart's a certain way, your thoughts are going to be a certain way, in your language and how you're speaking is going to be a certain way. And I think how you speak will just frame up how you see your situation and what you can add to it, and how the situation can benefit you, or how you need to operate in that situation.
So, yeah. So what I've just thought of is the heart is where love flows from. And we know in Corinthians it says you can do all these things, but without love you have nothing. And it talks about the importance of love. And so just to think, like, going through the motions, even if we're doing good and helping others, if our heart's not right and we're not doing out of a place of true love, then we're wasting our time. Not in the fact that we're helping others, but as far as our relationship, we're not growing, we're not maturing, we're not having that relationship with God.
Right. And I think that it's a, and the rest of development, like you said, you don't grow, but even think about what's so prevalent now and what the body of Christ is really tuned into now is prophecy. Mm-hmm. And you are a prophet. And if you don't have the heart of God when you prophesy, you're not sharing what God's heart is for somebody else. Yeah. So it, anybody can give details, information, and someone might think that that is a revelation and a prophetic action. But if you can't add to that and connect to God's heart in that situation for that person in that prophetic moment, if you're not, your heart's not connected to God's heart in that way, you're not going to, I think, do what the purpose of prophecy is so many times. It's sharing what God's heart is for that person in that moment so they know that God sees them and is aware of wherever they are in their life. And if you take a situation like that and the person that is giving the prophecy doesn't have the heart of God, it turns into that thing that is not intended to, because you don't, like you said, have the growth. You don't have the level of intimacy and maturity to speak God's heart for that person to them.
Yeah, that's really good. I think it was Damon Thompson. I heard him say one time that one day the Holy Spirit revealed to him what the difference between revelation and insight was. And the Holy Spirit told him insight always points back to the person giving the knowledge, where revelation always connects the wisdom to the Father. And I think that's where prophecy and prophets have gotten a bad name over the years, as they've operated without the mind of transformation. Because it's easy to give somebody a harsh word, or it's easy to go into a temple and flip tables over. But Jesus was also willing to die for every single one of those people that he went and was angry with in the temple. And I think a lot of times we lose sight of that, and we lose sight of the love, and our heart gets out of alignment. Yes, we can give, you know, sometimes God tells us to give a stern word or a word of correction, but transformation should always be the goal. It should not be to put people down, or, oh yeah, I corrected yes. them, I rebuked them,
yes.
to see them restored to the fullness that God wants them to be.
That is awesome. I think just that heart of having a heart of restoration for people, that's just awesome. I really think that if you come from that place, like you said, you are not pointed to yourself, because there's insight, like you said, and then there's discernment. And discernment is not the same thing as prophecy,
yeah.
which is a whole other thing. But you have to have the heart. I think that heart, that compassion, will want you to get closer to what God wants. And when I have experiences where I believe that there's something that God's asking me to share, I really take pause, in addition to knowing that is not just me thinking something, but I have to know, is this just something that you're showing me? And if it's just discernment, you know, what's your heart for that person right now? Because if you're just showing me that they are, let's say, depressed, that's just a discernment, because the person already knows they're depressed, yeah. right?
Yeah.
So there's no restoration there. There's no true revelation of how God wants to remove them from that place of depression. It's just making a statement. And I think when you don't have your heart in check, you might run the risk of misrepresenting yourself or misspeaking for God in those times as a leader, you know, when you are put before people to speak a word into someone's life, your heart needs to be in the best place it can be, because no one's perfect. Everybody goes through something. Like they say that you're either getting ready to go in something in the middle of something, or you're leaving something. That's a trial. So it's just really important to have your heart in shape and to maintain it.
Okay. So talking about that, so how does a Christian gauge their heart?
Completely outside of themselves. I think most people know when they're off, so to speak. You know, when they're spiritually, they're a little bit off. And I think that's when we need to be fully accessing the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's our partner. He's here. He's engaged with us. And he's here to show us truth. And if we depend on our own devices, we'll just give ourselves the answer that we like. So if I see you somewhere and I'm super rude to you, I could say, oh, I'm just tired. I didn't get enough sleep last night. But the Holy Spirit's like, no, you're offended about this, that, or the other thing. And you kind of have to give permission to let the Holy Spirit override your soul, because that's your mind, will, and emotions. And so you kind of have to give that permission on a regular basis so you can gauge it. So you kind of have to do that Psalm 139 thing, you know, pray that scary prayer, search my heart, and so, mean it.
So for somebody who's new in the faith, how do you establish that discipline to not, when you know you're off, to not just ignore it, or, oh, I'm okay, I'll be okay, and actually deal with it?
Well, for someone new, I would think the biggest thing that I would encourage is to stay in the Word of God, because you don't know what his voice sounds like. You don't know how he moves and how he operates until you know his voice and his word. So I think for a new Christian, just really trying to get yourself steeped and worked into the word will kind of give you a red flag system. And it might not be as sharp as it is for a Christian that has walked longer, but you still have that system that kind of goes off. So for a new Christian, I would say, ask yourself, say a little prayer, show me. I mean, even for people who aren't believers, we have, you know, documented times where that person just cries out and says, God, show me who you are. Like, I don't believe you. Yeah. Show me who you are. And he responds to that. So I don't think that God's like, oh, they just got saved last Sunday. I don't think they're gonna know if I respond to them. I think that new believers should take advantage of that interaction. And it's just a conversation. It's just an ask, and that's prayer. That's what prayer is to me. I don't think that should be any different from someone who's been believing for 30 years. You pray. You ask God and you say, am I okay? Like, am I good? And I would say that to a new believer. I would say that to somebody that's been believing for a long time, because I don't think anything is wasted in the word. But one thing that really sticks with me is that the need to ask the Holy Spirit to crucify my flesh. Mm-hmm. And to renew a right spirit within me. And when you get that flesh crucified, you know, and it's not just sensational things and, you know, other types of sin. It's like, get my flesh out of the way, please, so I can hear you.
Yeah.
And I think once you pray that prayer, pray that scripture, and believe that if there's going to be a response, because God has to respond to his word. You'll hear and you'll get the check. But I believe that knowing, being in the word, is that connective tissue that gets you into the place where you can gauge better and understand what your heart is doing.
So from a ministry aspect, how important do you feel it is for ministry leaders to surround themselves with people to hold them accountable, that when their heart's not right, somebody will tell you that your heart's not right, but obviously in love.
Right. Well, I think it's crucial to be around people that will speak, like you said, the truth in love. I think there are times where God will have those people not even address you, but pray. You know, there might be a process, you know, it might be God shows them, you know, they might show them something about me and they tell them to pray about it, like pray.
Yeah.
Pray for my heart. And then it might get to the point where they have to have a conversation. But I think it's crucial because you don't want to run on your own steam. I think that for me personally, that would be a one-way ticket to pride, because you think you're a one-person show. And if you don't have people that don't speak what I call yay, and it's a pep rally in your life, that have balance, you won't have balance.
Yeah.
And I think no matter how incredibly gifted and called you are, you can still get out of balance. And so when you have people in your life that says, you know, can I talk to you over here for a minute? And you have to be in the right place. I think you have to be in relationship with that person at a certain level to be able to do that. You know, as you said, if you can say the truth in love, then it will be received. If you don't necessarily have a relationship that's a time-honored relationship, like you've known them for years. But
yeah,
I believe that it's crucial to have people. And I believe that God sends you people like that at certain times and when you're growing in God and what you're supposed to be walking in, to be those people to kind of give you that shoulder tap.
Yeah, because I've experienced over the years, and I'm sure you have too, the danger of an unchecked heart and a leader who's not held accountable. So kind of going along with that, what's the danger of a Christian or even just leaders in leadership and ministry operating out of a heart that has hurt or an offended heart?
Well, the short answer is if you are not healed, if you have wounds that are not healed, when you're ministering, you're going to bleed on other people.
Yeah.
For example, you know, if my heart, if I had a loss in my life, let's say, let's do a true example. You know, I've been divorced. So let's say that I'm in covenant with somebody, I'm close to them, and unfortunately, they experience divorce. If my heart is not healed or in the right place from my experience with divorce, all of my feelings about divorce are going to probably override anything that I could minister from God to them, because I believe that your heart's a filter. So if you have these blocks of unchecked anger, grief, resentment, all of that stuff, God is trying to flow through that, and it gets blocked. Because I think if you're not healed from it, when you are beside someone in life that's experiencing something that's like that or reminds you from an emotional standpoint of what you went through, but you weren't healed from it, that's what's going to come out first. all of that unhealed stuff. And that's not what the person can use. That's not a perspective. So I think that sometimes when you are not healed and you're ministering, you might be ministering from a tainted place, because the places where you weren't healed are going to speak louder than what God is saying in the situation, if we let our feelings override it and our emotions.
That's putting all our baggage and weight on somebody who's already carrying their own.
Right. And so, you know, and it may even look really great. It may even sound eloquent. I might be able to say, well, I believe the Lord is saying that you should go to a place in God and find out ways that you can rise higher than your husband in this way, your ex-husband in this way and that way. I could probably package it really cute, and it might even sound holy, but it's coming from a place of pain if I didn't get that. And, you know, it may not be obvious, but if I'm not, if my emotions aren't checked, you will see the fruit of that. I think you'll see the fruit of what you said, if you said it from a place that wasn't healed, you'll see the fruit or the lack thereof. So you have to be really careful with where your heart is even before you teach, because it's, you can be teaching from a place where you got hurt or you got burned or you got, you know, a leader, you know, a person that was in leadership that took advantage of their leadership status in your life, and you didn't work all the way through that. Well, you're going to teach about leadership different. you might be teaching from a place of offense, you know, from a place of pain, and that is not the place that brings you to a clear understanding on your own. If I'm teaching from that place, they're going to learn from a place of offense. They're not going to learn from a balanced place.
So as a leader in ministry, how do you gauge or how do you judge the hearts of the leaders under you?
I think that's interesting. I don't really see anybody under me. But I'll tell you what I think.
Or even those who are on the same
level. What I really think is where you're really judging from. When I was thinking about that whole piece of the judging, and that that Matthew chapter 7, you know, judge not, and people manipulate that one scripture all different kinds of ways. I don't think we have time for that today.
But only God can judge me.
Right. So there are two, in Hebrew, there's one word for judge, which is in that Matthew 7:1 scripture. And it's more of an opinion, what you think about it. Mm. And I thought about that, and I thought about kind of going back to earlier in our conversation with understanding the difference between discernment and prophecy. When you have someone that's judging from an emotional level, that's one thing. But when you are using God's wisdom to judge something, that's another level. So I thought about, you know, where in the Bible, where can I see that distinction from that? And in 1 Kings in chapter 3, you know, when Solomon said, I just want your wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, when he could ask for anything, the word that he used to judge was a different word in Hebrew than the one in Matthew 7. And to me, the application for me as a leader is that it's, you want God's wisdom to judge it. You don't just come out of the gate with your own opinion about it and judge based on your opinion. And of course, that's easier said in real life, walking around every day. Because I think sometimes what comes out first is a judgment from just who you are and all your life experiences and what you experienced up till now. And, you know, of course, prejudice is in the word prejudge, and it's not always a racial thing. It's just what you've been through. So you can prejudge well, you can prejudge in the positive, and you can prejudge in the negative. But when judgment is before you and it has a kingdom impact for that person, a destiny, spiritual impact for that person, I think it's important not to judge from your own opinion, but to ask for God's wisdom, again, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to have that other level of judgment. Like, give me the wisdom from you for me to judge this situation. And I think that really spoke to me, because we all know the rest of the story with Solomon. Like, they were astounded by his ability to make these judgments and to judge the heart of people. And again, you know, it goes back to the heart again. If you're judging someone and you think that there's something in their heart, just for example, let's say you see a person and God is clearly showing you that they're involved in some kind of occult activity. Well, if you have a prejudgment or a predisposition about what you think the heart of people is that practice that, and that's where you stay, that's how you're going to minister to them. But if you say, God, I know you showed me that this person is casting spells or doing whatever, you know, what's going on? What do you need me to do? And it might be they're doing that because they're lost and they don't have any identity.
Yeah.
And if you minister to them, you may not say a thing about a spell. You might just say, I need to speak to your identity right now. I need to say what God says about who you are and your identity. And then that's just a moot point, like what they're operating in right now. But I think if you stay in that self-judgment, that emotional, speak your opinion in your mind and your will, you're going to stay with the sensational. It's more sensational to say, oh, she's a witch, you know, they're a witch. We got to talk to that witch part. We got to tell that to
Jezebel.
Right. And then, like, if you wait for wisdom, now I'm not saying there might be some times where you have to take care of business and deliver people, but I think when you ask for the wisdom of God, he'll show you the true root for the behavior. And the root for the behavior might be that they have self-esteem issues, that they don't have a clear identity, that they were all in the church and they got hurt. So I just believe that is paramount, that you get it clear. I'm not saying we get it 100% or 200%, but I think it would give you pause, because if God is trusting you to be before somebody and minister to them in a leadership, even from leader to leader, because, you know, I think for me, I would be an honest leader to say that I will never outgrow my need for deliverance. I will never outgrow my need to be checked. And I need to stay teachable. So if a covenant relationship that I have says, you know, we got to talk about this, and they say it from a place that's just judging the manifestation of it and not the root, I'm not going to get delivered or healed.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's really good. When you're talking about identity, I think that's so important. It's really easy. I've heard so many Christians look at lost people and they roll their eyes or wonder why they act that way. And it's like, they don't know any better. That's how they're supposed to act. If they don't know the Father at all, how do you expect him that? We can't judge them and not want to go near them, not want to help them. It'd be one thing if a pastor was doing it. Obviously, they know better. But to judge people that are lost, and then to really, you know, the Bible says if you've thought it, you've done it in your heart. So to right. judge a lost person and to roll your eyes, I mean, that's really a way of hating who they are in that place.
Mm-hmm.
But where were we before God, you know, before God saved us and God rescued
right. And I think you can even have seasons in your lives where you knew God and then you go away from him.
Yeah.
And some people judge that transition and don't expect you to come back to him. So we have to be careful about that too. It's if we pray to get the harvest and get the lost souls, our heart has to be in the place to receive them. It has to look like a welcome mat and not a finger shake, you know, to the people receiving us. So I think that when we say that's what we want to do, when we want to, you know, bring the lost souls to Christ, we have to think about how it's going to look when we first get there with them. And that we're going to still have to have that heart of compassion for them.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big reasons the American church doesn't see a lot of harvest. It's because most churches aren't ready to receive it. So if we're not ready to steward it, why is God going to allow us to have it?
Right. I mean, I think it's so much easier to say in theory, just like being outside the four walls, but then you go to the restaurant after church and you've had opportunities to share God and it doesn't happen. But I think if you ask God to equip you, I think that's another thing with checking your heart. You know, you literally hand over permission to God to check you.
Yeah.
When you know that he's the person that's his spirit is really the one that can guard your heart the best. And, that's the walk of preparation so we can be in the right place for when we're encountering people that are hungry for something different. They may be in something that doesn't look good, but they're probably starving for something different. And we have to look past where they're standing right in that moment to offer them something that is better. And that's going to help them heal. So,
yeah, that's really good. Well, we're about out of time, but thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks. It was just a blessing to be here. I'm so honored. I'm so honored and excited for you and your podcast.
Thanks.